Today, as we come to the table,
Dan was the first tribe to introduce idolatry into the nation of Israel when they came in the land. And I think it's a chastisement for them allowing that idolatry to come in. They're left out of those that get saved at the very last days. However, will those from the tribe of Dan be saved? Absolutely. How do we know? Because when you get to the millennial kingdom, guess who one of the tribes is that gets a portion of land in the 1,000-year reign? The tribe of Dan. What that shows us is we have a good father that spanks his kids, but when the spank is over, we're restored back to the family. Isn't that great? And maybe somebody said, I've been spanked a lot. You know what? I think God's done away. No, God hasn't done away with you. God chastises his kids, but he restores us.
We don't like to be disciplined. If you had loving parents who spanked, you likely don't look back fondly on that painful experience. But you can look back with the wisdom of adulthood and understand why they did it. It wasn't because they were angry and didn't like you. It was because they cared deeply for you and didn't want to see you continue in your destructive behavior. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark will draw our attention to the disciplinary methods of our Heavenly Father. Whenever we experience God's judgment in any form, our initial reaction may be to see Him as a cruel God, but He carries out just judgment because He cares deeply for man. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 7 as he continues his message, the 144,000.
He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished. That is Revelation. We're talking about that wrath. For what has been determined shall be done. This means he will eventually do away with the worship of any other god or any other celebration that honors God, like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Does anyone see the headwinds of the spirit of the Antichrist attacking holidays that lift up Jesus Christ? Oh, don't you dare worship. Don't you dare have Thanksgiving. Don't you dare have Christmas. Don't you care? Of course we care. And for that 0.0003% that are dying in Knox County, we need to be very careful. But when it comes to worshiping God, we're going to worship Him. And we're going to honor Him. Now, I'm not saying flaunt it. I'm not saying be rude about it. But I'm saying enjoy the holidays and worship the Lord. The spirit of Antichrist is eventually going to... Listen, when He comes into power, no one will worship, will have Christmas. No one will have Thanksgiving. No one will do... Nobody, even Ramadan... Even the false religions, he won't allow them to do. All holidays will be canceled because everyone must bow to him as God. He won't allow it. Everyone else will bow down. Now, that means we should be seeing the headwinds of that. Are we seeing the headwinds of that? You better believe it. Again, you're watching it happen right before your very eyes. Again, the government of the freest nation of the world, America, is now clamping down on its population, removing its freedoms, bringing oppression on its people like never before in American history. And again, this is exactly what the Bible says will happen in the last days. Now, as we come to chapter 7, that was just the intro. We're going 3 hours today, so we're going to have lunch brought in. Wouldn't that be great one day to have lunch brought in? Y'all just sit there. No, that wouldn't be great, Pastor. That wouldn't be great. But as we come to chapter 7, where we're taking up now is in chapter 6, we saw the first six seals opened, all right? The first six seals were opened. Now we come to the seventh seal, and we're going to be introduced in the seventh seal to the 144,000. And before we jump in it, I want to say very quickly about the 144,000. Many false religions have used the 144,000 to deceive many people into thinking it was just their group, or they're this, or they're that. It was used wrongfully. Again, who are some of those that did that? Jehovah's Witnesses made this claim until their numbers passed 144,000. And they were like, we have new insight. And they suddenly, yeah, I guess it's more than that. Church of God did it for a while till they got new insight. Seventh-day Adventists, you know, for a long time, we're the 144,000. It's a spiritual delusion because people, again, also part of the reason is God's going to show us exactly who it is in detail. It's because they're not believing the Bible literally. The Bible tells us it is 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. Now, again, when I say we believe the Bible literally, I want to say this. What I mean by that is this. Are there symbols? Are there pictures? Jesus said, I'm the door. He's not a piece of wood. We know that. But get this. Behind, as a matter of fact, we're going to see a dragon later on in John's vision, right? Behind every dragon, behind every door, behind every vision is a literal meaning every time. You will never find a place in the Bible that there's not a literal meaning behind what the Lord is saying. And why is that important? Because here's why God wrote the Bible this way. There's a reason. If the Bible is not to be taken literally, then anybody can make it mean whatever they want. And if I'm a good teacher, and if I'm charismatic, and if I can convince you, then I can tell you what it really means rather than what it really says. And the problem with that is I've now become the authority rather than this. This is the authority. And that's why we have to believe what it says, and why it says here is 12,000 from every tribe. I believe it's 12,000 from every tribe. But we don't know who the tribes are. I'm sure God's out there going, that's right. I don't know the 12 tribes. I'm just God Almighty. I could never find these guys. Okay, new plan. Group, come on. Group in, get in. He knows exactly where they are. He knows who they are. He knows where they are, and he's going to bring them together, and he's going to save them. 12,000 right off the bat from each tribe, 144,000. That's exactly what's going to happen. So we have to understand it that way. Let's jump into it. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Now, let me just say right away, this is where sometimes critics of the Bible will attack and say, see, the Bible's outdated. It doesn't know what it's talking about. There are four corners to the earth. Listen, that was simply an illustration, the same way we use it today. The military still talks about the four corners of the earth. As a matter of fact, how many of you watch the sun rise? Shocker, the sun doesn't rise. We're moving. The sun is sitting still right where it is. And yet, what do we say every morning? Oh, look, the sunrise. Oh, so we're all lying and deluded, right? No, we know what we mean. It's the same thing here. God's using an analogy. He's using something to make the point. And he says, again, notice when it just means the whole world. And he says, look at these angels. They're holding the winds of the earth that they shouldn't blow on the earth. Can you imagine? Look at the power of the angels, first of all. They've got the power just to stop the winds. What kind of power is that, right? Now, think about the world right now. Suddenly, all the winds stop. Think of how silent the world would feel. You know, if you're up on some mountain and the wind's just blowing super hard like a blizzard, right? And all of a sudden, it's just beautiful. It's falling straight down. It gets very quiet, very silent. Think about it. It wouldn't be as beautiful if you're in a sailboat on the ocean. What now, guys? Pray. Lord, send wind, right? All the sails just go. Everything stops around the world. Imagine, it's almost like between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, God says, Earth, be quiet. Just be silent before me. I've got something to say. I'm not done with Israel. I'm going to get 12,000 from each tribe, and I'm going to save them and anoint them, and they're going to be my evangelists because I'm taking my church out of here in the rapture. And the whole world's just quiet, waiting on God to move. Beautiful. And so he says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. So God has a seal. I love this. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Now note this. Again, we noted over and over, Satan's an imitator. Even as God has the Trinity, there's going to be an unholy Trinity that's going to be at the end. Everything that God does, Satan imitates. He can't be greater than God because God's the greatest. So he's trying to imitate God and take the place of Jesus Christ by presenting himself as the Savior of the world and this leader that's going to come out of Europe. But what's interesting here is notice he says here, he says that he puts the seal of the living God on them. And what it means is that everyone here on the earth, when he's going to save the 12,000 from each tribe, he's going to put his mark on them, the seal of God on them. But that means that you as a believer, you've got the seal of God as well. We see this in other places in Scripture. Right now, you have the seal of God on you. And while you can't see it, the enemy can see it, and it's on your forehead. Now, if it's on your forehead, why do you think Satan wants to put a mark on the forehead and the hand? He's imitating God. And so he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly. And he seals them on their foreheads. Now, what is this seal? This is so cool, okay? Revelation 14:1 tells us what the seal is. Look at this. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000. Here they are getting saved, and here he's talking about them, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Guess what's on your forehead this morning, guys? Yahweh. No way. Yahweh. Right now. The enemy sees it. It's there. You belong to God. Is that cool or what? Now, where else do we see this? God says that's how he's going to protect us. That's how the enemy can't get to us. We see this again in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. It says, then he called out of my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near with a deadly weapon in his hand. God is sending angels. Here's the context. God is sending angels to judge Jerusalem because they've been rebelling against God for years and years and years, and God's warned them and warned them. And God says, now it's time for judgment. You've turned away, and it's going to even affect your families. And suddenly six men, these are angels, it will be revealed as we read on. Angels are often referred to as men. Six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with a linen and had a writer's inkhorn on his side. And they went in and stood beside the bronze altar. And the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn on his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. You go and put a mark on everyone who grieves over the sin of their nation and grieves over their own sin, and those that have repented, you mark them because they're mine. Is that great or what? He says to the others, go through the city and kill. Don't let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone whom is the mark or on whom is in the mark, is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Again, Satan imitating God. Again, like it says, he's going to be doing. And notice this, not only is he going to be happening, what else should we be watching for, okay? If this mark is coming for those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead, and by the way, the shot is not the mark. I want to encourage you guys. The shot is not the mark. It's up to you and God what vaccine you take or don't take. I'm saying that's not the mark. The mark is going to be done by a specific leader out of Europe, and he will put it on, or it'll be made to be put on the head or the hand, and you're going to be out of here before that anyway. So don't think this is the mark. This is conditioning for the mark. This is getting everyone used to doing what the government tells them. Everyone getting in line. Even the way we're handling the COVID is exact. Listen to this. How many of you have been someplace where you walk in and before they let you in, they hold something up to your forehead? Have you been there? Now, I know they're taking your temperature. That's right. But what's happening? You're being conditioned to be scanned. It's very normal. That's normal. There's nothing wrong. That's normal. Everybody does. That's normal. Really? Why the forehead? Well, I don't know. I talked to one of our students here at the public school that goes here to Calvary. Every day before they can enter the school, they have to put their hand up on a thing and let it be held there to get their temperature on their wrist before they can go into school. The next generation is being conditioned for a scanning on the wrist. We're being conditioned right now for a scanning on the head. These are the headwinds, no pun intended. It's happening. Look, all I'm saying is you're watching it. Don't miss this, okay? Don't miss it. This is the Bible. We're not talking about somebody with little, aluminum hats on and making, this is the Bible, okay? It's a big difference in God's word and what we would call a conspiracy theory. We're watching it. And he says, seal them on their foreheads. Notice this. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. And now he tells us who they are, so we don't have to guess. Of the tribes of the children of Israel. God said, in the last days, I'm pouring my spirit out on the nation of Israel. The church is going to be gone, so God's going to raise up 144,000 from each tribe to be the world evangelists. I've heard it said they're going to be like 144,000 Billy Grahams all over the world, right? And they're going to be sharing the gospel because God's going to save people during that time. We're going to see that more in just a moment. Where are the tribes from? Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Again, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, sometimes God combines tribes or spreads them out where it comes out to the number 12, but he's mixed other tribes in. And that's what he did here. You'll notice one is left out, but we still have 12 tribes. The tribe of Dan is missing. Now, we don't know exactly why. Some believe that maybe that indicates that the Antichrist will be from the tribe of Dan. I don't know. And so they're excluded. I don't think so. It might be. But again, it's interesting that Dan was the first tribe to introduce idolatry into the nation of Israel when they came in the land. And I think it's a chastisement for them allowing that idolatry to come in. They're left out of those that get saved at the very last days. However, will those from the tribe of Dan be saved? Absolutely. How do we know? Because when you get to the millennial kingdom, guess who one of the tribes is that gets a portion of land in the 1,000-year reign? The tribe of Dan. What that shows us is we have a good father that spanks his kids, but when the spank is over, we're restored back to the family. Isn't that great? And maybe some of you said, I've been spanked a lot. You know, and I think God's done away. No, God hasn't done away with you. God chastises his kids, but he restores us. And he brings us back in because he loves us. And so there they are, all named. And notice verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations. Notice the word all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I love this. So all nations, all tribes are represented there in heaven, all of them. And it's interesting that John was able to tell they were from different tribes and nations. Are we going to look similar in heaven as we do on earth? I don't know. You know, we'll find out. But he could tell they were from different tribes. He could tell they were from different nations. He could tell where they were from. And so they're all there, one family in God, worshiping and praising and crying. Notice this, I love it. It says they're waving palm branches. Why is that interesting to me? Because palm branches is what they waved at the Feast of Tabernacles. And guess what feast we'll still be celebrating during the 1,000-year reign, the Bible tells us? The Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to be waving palm branches as well. And he sees all of them there. By the way, did you know you're in the Bible? John is futuristically seeing the crowds after the rapture in heaven praising God. Guess who that is? It's you. This is you. You will be a part of this multitude shouting and praising and waving palm branches. Make sure you get this so you don't look like you don't know what you're doing, because I'm going to say, yeah, they came from Calvary Chapel, right? What do we do next? Just give me that palm branch. I'm being silly. You're going to know for sure, but you get the point. But this is you. It's you. You're there. And we're giving praise. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne. And they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So there's just incredible praise bursting forth there in the kingdom. And it says, then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? Now, John didn't ask this question, but the angel obviously wanted John to know the answer. So the angel goes, so, hey, who are these guys? Well, first I'm telling you, it's you, partly, but it's more than just you. He goes on with a further definition. Listen to who else this is. He says, who are they? He says, I said to him, sir, you know, I don't know. I mean, you're the one. I'm just visiting. I'll be back later, but you tell me what's happening here. And he said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. If you're under a lot of that, may be a good one. And here's why I say that. People ask me all the time, will anybody be saved after the rapture? Will people get saved during the great tribulation? It says right here very clearly, yes, indeed, they will. And it says that multitudes will. Well, Mark, who are they? The rapture's already happened. This is your family and your friends and the people you love and others that have heard the gospel over and over, but they didn't receive it. They decided they didn't want the Lord. They were left behind. And after they saw us disappear, they chose Christ. Now listen, if that's you this morning, don't wait. It's much easier on our end of things, because the Bible says we'll be taken out of here before all this happens. There's going to be horrible things happening during the great tribulation. It says that men will want to die but not be able to. It's going to be horrible. And if you say, well, I'll just wait until then. If you guys disappear, then I'll do. It's too late. You're going to go through it now. How much better to make a decision right now? Don't let pride, don't let whatever it is that's holding you back keep you from making that decision. God, by the Spirit, is making an appeal to you this morning. Be a part of this crowd. Don't be the ones that come out of the great tribulation. Be the ones that leave before it starts. And so these come out of the great tribulation, and notice they're washed. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So they've been saved by the Lord. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. I love it. Now, before I read 16, let's remember what was just happening to them. We're going to be reading in Revelation about the trumpets and the bowls and the fact there's going to be famine and hunger and thirst and all these horrible things happening. And listen, this is wild. The Bible says that the sun is going to get 7 times hotter during the great tribulation. You talk about global warming. That's global melting. And man didn't do it. Carbon emissions not going to reach the sun. the sun, by God's direction, will get hotter. Hey, I don't know the science on what's heating or what's not heating, but if something really is, that wouldn't surprise me. It's the headwinds of what God said is coming. None of that surprises me. And no matter what we do, we can't stop prophecy. No matter what I drive or don't drive, it isn't going to affect that the sun's going to get 7 times hotter. But think about this. You ever been somewhere and the sun's so hot the air conditioner can't keep up? Now do that times 7. People are going to be scorched with heat. They're going to be miserable, okay? Now this makes sense in context. Look at verse 16. They shall neither hunger anymore. That'll happen during the Great Tribulation. Nor thirst anymore, that as well. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Now you know why they're before the throne of God saying, thank you. Thank you for delivering me. You know, nobody's going to be standing over there going, I can't believe you made me go through that. That was so mean. Nobody's going to grumble against God. We see here they're going to be going, you deserve all glory and honor and power because you have rescued me. I deserve down there to roast. I deserved all that I had. But you and your mercy, when I repented, you called me up and you brought me into the kingdom with you. How I wish I'd have done it before that. But you know what? I'm here now. Praise the Lord. And everybody's worshiping. For the Lamb who's in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and will lead them to the fountains, the living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Beautiful. There's a lot of tears already, are there not? Imagine the tears in the Great Tribulation. He's going to wipe them all away. And never again will we have any more tears. Listen, I make an appeal to any of you this morning. As the body of Christ, as I said, it's time to wake up. This is time. It's happening. You're watching it. Be aware. Don't be like those in Jesus' day who couldn't recognize the signs of the times. They're not only around us, they're around us in loud volume. They're screaming at us from every news report and everywhere all over the place. That's what's happening. But if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, listen, now's the time to get in. Don't wait until after. Don't say, well, yeah, if that really happens, I'll make a decision then. Because once this starts, there's no escape. You're in there until you die for your faith or until the elements of this world kill you. I mean, everybody's worried about the environment. And I get all that. I get that. God controls that. And God's going to keep everything just fine until we're out of here. And you want to see the environment go south? It's going to go south really fast and very violently. But not because of what mankind is doing, but because of what mankind didn't do. They didn't receive Jesus Christ and the hope of God who would have kept them safe and brought them out of that. So you have a choice this morning. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to give your life to the Lord or are you going to continue to deny? I make an appeal to you. Look, I'm not going to try to talk you into anything. I make an appeal to you. Don't be foolish. Make a decision for the Lord. Because it's going to be something that when we're suddenly gone is going to haunt you. And even if you do get in, I don't know, people say, well, maybe I'll say the prayer afterwards. If you don't really want to say the prayer now, why do you think after we're gone and God's church is gone from the earth that you're going to be moved to do it then? The Bible says there'll be a great falling away in the last days. I make the appeal. Receive Jesus. It's so simple, but it takes humility. You have to say, okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me on the cross, and now I give my life to you. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be born again, and you will have your place in the kingdom of God. And you're going to be a part of that crowd up there rejoicing rather than those that are down there saying, God, have mercy, or those that are shaking their fist at heaven.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Revelation. There's so much to discover. If you missed any part of this broadcast or you want to hear it again, visit thewaymedia.net. You can also subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Again, just visit thewaymedia.net, then click on Come to the Table, or download the Way Media app and get push notifications on that day's broadcast. Our teachings through this climactic ending book of the Bible touches on God bringing judgment to a Christ-rejecting world. But that's not where it ends. If you choose to follow Jesus, there's much more life to live beyond the accounts of Revelation. The story actually continues and can include you. If you're unsure what this means, please don't hesitate to submit questions or comments on our website. Just go to thewaymedia.net, click on Come to the Table, and find the questions and comments link. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we'd appreciate your prayers during this study. The book of Revelation can be a controversial and debate-ridden study, and we're asking for unity and a clear message to be presented that's inspired by God Almighty. Please pray that the Holy Spirit would lead those who don't know God to hear this program and find hope in Jesus. Thanks for lifting your fellow listeners up to the Lord. Pastor Mark has more to share on the big picture of the book of Revelation, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.